You might like to turn in your Bible as we open our prayer meeting Wednesday on to Psalm 127. And in our, as was said, we have spent time on seeking to have a better handle on God's wonderful person by way of God's awesome names. And all of those names indicate God's ability. He is who he is, and he can become all that he is. He becomes what he is, as needed. God. God, whatever God is like, character, conduct, need, power, grace, God can become it. And thus he said to Israel, I am that I am. That's all they needed to know. If you understand what I just said, I am, then you'll understand all that that means. I am always who I am. Now, having said that, and we shared together, tried to last time, to be very conscious of the fact, a little better conscious, we do not want to go and break the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. We don't want to do that. And we want to be very careful we don't pollute, profane, make common, all same word, God's name. God said, I will not honor anywhere, anyhow, in any shape where my name is polluted. My name must be honored for all that it is, and more so. So now, here in Psalm 127, just to remind you on the word vain in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, there's your word, in vain. And that means the word vain, evil, falsehood, misrepresent, to make a lie about something or someone, to say something that isn't true about God, isn't true about God. God never said that, God didn't mean that, God isn't like that. And so, and it also means, also the same word, Hebrew word, means emptiness, worthlessness, nothingness, all three of the word vain. Thus, I'll read that with that in mind. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, useless, worthless, for nothing. That build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in, but in vain, for nothing, for no end, no gain, no good is gained at all. So now, so we're looking, God, you need to be involved. And in verse 2, while you're here, it is vain, third time, the word, for it is vain to you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. So with all our effort to keep ourselves, guard ourselves, preserve ourselves, you can't replace God. All of your efforts don't make anything happen. You can't produce another hour of your life. You can't produce anything. You can't do it in and by and of yourself apart from God. It isn't going to work. Isn't going to work at all. Now, and we don't want to thus take the name of God in vain at all. We don't want to. God is not, when God is involved, it doesn't produce nothingness. It doesn't produce worthlessness. It is able to accomplish all that God has in mind. So now, having said that, now if you would, over to Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, as you might guess, all the way over to Ezekiel 48, the very last chapter and the last statement that Ezekiel makes. And thus, Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. It was round about, this is that great city, temple for the city, and it was round about 8,000 measures, and the name, so it gives you the dimensions, the diameter, the 4 miles, etc., and gives you the diameter of the city, and the name of the city from that day, the day that that new city, Jerusalem, etc., on earth is set up, the name of that city shall be the Lord is there, or Yahweh Shama. The Lord is there, little adverb, there. The Lord is there. He's there. And that is why all of the wonderful truth and all of the things that God has said that will happen in the days ahead are going to occur, because God is involved. God is there. That's why. You can count on it. God has said, I'm there. Now, in order to get that for us, to get the benefit of that a little bit, would you go with me, please, over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Deuteronomy in chapter 28. God is there. Where? There. Where? In that place. And you got the word, little word, Shema. There. Where? In that place. In that place. God is there. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, God makes wonderful provision for Israel. And as they would trust God in the land of Canaan, it would be wonderful for them as they believed God. And just so we don't miss it, verse 1, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God, remember, God, Israel's a privileged nation, just like you are privileged people. Very privileged. Very privileged. God, to be in Christ, to know God now, is a high privilege. Always it's a high privilege, but it is never high as it is now, when God in his grace elevates you to be part of his wonderful body. That is unheard of, not possible, but it is now. So, God, you said these wonderful things. All these blessings, verse 2, shall come in thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, picking up, please, in thought, verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Remember, the name of the city shall be called the Lord is there, Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. He's there. Now, God said, when you go there, when you're in the city, verse 3, blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. So whether you're in or out of the city, you'll be blessed, wonderfully so. Now, and that's on the one hand, and you know, chapter 28, over, if I may, to verse 16. 28 and 16. On the other hand, if you don't honor God, cursed, 28:16, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. So either you're going to go with God, or you're going to go against God. So everywhere, either going to be blessed or not blessed. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now, having said that, about the city, wherever you go, in the city, out of the city, wonderful, God. Now, over in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. So God assumes that if Israel, or said, if Israel would trust him, they would be blessed indeed. So here in 1 Kings chapter 8, picking up, please. Remember, David desires to build the temple in Jerusalem, the city of David, Jerusalem. The temple is in Jerusalem. David there sets it all up, and his son Solomon really builds the city up and builds the temple. That's Solomon's job. Now, in that city, and that's Jerusalem, in that city, when God is there, everything happens like it's supposed to because God is there. Now, 1 Kings chapter 8, picking up in verse 16. Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. When you came out of Israel, make believe Israelites, you did not know anything. I didn't tell you what I was going to do. I didn't tell you what city. I didn't tell you a whole lot of things. I just told you where you were going, and I didn't fill in a lot of details. But, and picking up all in verse 17, but it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So God honored that wonderful desire of David. And thus, verse 29, that thine eyes may be opened. Remember, this is the prayer now, Solomon's prayer, wonderful prayer. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there. There. My name shall be there. I am there. What place? There I am. My name is there in that temple. You want to know how to spot me? We have the risen Christ. They had a visual temple. And verse 29, middle of the verse, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And in verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplicants of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. So God, we know, here's the temple, and when they pray to this place, we know, God, the temple can't house you. Look over in verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. So in the prayer, you're looking at God. When they look to the house, that's what you told them to be conscious of you, knowing that you are in the heavens. So God, you up here are going to have to answer us down here, and we're paying attention to your word, and we're abiding and looking to your word, looking to this place where your name is, the temple. Now, having said that, over verse 44. In verse 44, chapter 8, if thy people, remember all of the different gods, he's going to name all kinds of situations to cover the basis, to cover all the basis. And in the process of doing all that, look over in verse 38 just for a moment, just to show you how many bases he covers. 8 and 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house. When you look to me with all your heart, and you tell me, God, I'm flunking, failing, and you can have all of your wonderful and terrible conditions, and you look to God, God, I bring you my heart. You'll have to clean it, cleanse it, keep it. God, you have to do it. God said, I know. Bring your heart this year. Now, verse 44. If thy people go out of battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward this, to the city, which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Skipping, if I may, and if they win, God, thank you, they're going to look. You're going to go to battle. If we win, God, we aren't asking you to be for us or against us. We just want your will. And if we lose, we could lose. Verse 46, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they may carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near, yet they shall bethink themselves in the land, they shall pay attention, whether they were taken captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely and have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, to pray unto thee toward this their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, the house which I have built for thy name. And God's going to go, if you keep reading and reading and reading, God's going to go and forgive it all, put it all aside in God's wonderful way. God said, whether we're hot or cold, whether we fall flat on our face or run super successfully, God, here we're going to look to you when we're winning and when we're losing, when we're up and when we're down. God, we're going to make sure we don't leave you out of the picture. That's the whole point. Don't leave God out of the picture. Because the danger is, you're looking to God, happy, everything's going away, and then it isn't. And then you look away from God at your problem, and you get down in the dumps. You get down in the dumps, and forget about God, and you get all tied up in your problem, and you forgot God. And you reap. You reap the turmoil of your heart. You should have when you were down. You should have kept God in the picture, but they didn't. So Israel's prayer, God's prayer for Israel, by way of King Solomon, is to make sure God stays in the picture. Make sure the Lord is there. Watch. Picking up. Psalm 48. Psalm 48. And in Psalm 48, you have, as following Psalm 47, all about the Messiah and his in the kingdom, his kingdom rule. When you come to Psalm 48, you have the Messiah in the kingdom, and it's all about his city. He's there. It's all about his city. Now, Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful the situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the whole city. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. It's a wonderful time. God is there. And all the world is blessed because God is in the right place for the right reasons, and thus the whole world is blessed. Skipping down, verse 8. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, verse 9, O God, in the midst of thy temple, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness, etc. And here, God, it's the city. All about God. You're there, that's right. And if you had trusted me, Israel, you would have been blessed, whether you were in the city or out of the city. Wouldn't make any difference where you were. But you didn't. You didn't trust me. You didn't do that at all. So you lost out. And they did lose out. Now, and they are losing out. So now, kicking up, please, in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And in Isaiah chapter 1, you remember the verdict on the judgment on the Israel, the northern tribes, and the southern tribes. And picking up, please, in verse 2, Isaiah 1, 2. Hear, O ye, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. An ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. And then you keep reading from head to toe, they are wrong. The whole body is corrupt, top to bottom, top of the head to the bottom of the feet. It's corrupt now. So in the light of that, it's Israel is at the city. Here's Jerusalem. Here's the 10 tribes up here, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and here they all are. And the city is in jeopardy. It's not going to do well. Israel is not looking to God. Where is God? Are you there? No. Verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. As the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage, a little hut, a little tent. Think of the land, a city, and all you got left is a little tent for them to be in. In verse 8, the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge, a little lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. It's nothing. There's nothing there. What happened to the glory of Solomon's marvelous city? All gone. Now, verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto them a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. So now, looking, God is a very small remnant, and that's, but the main people you want is, are you looking to God? No, but, and that's why they could do what they do and did what they did, because they weren't looking to God. Now, if I can, over to verse 21. Here's a city now. It isn't done well, Jerusalem. And in verse 21, how is the faithful city become an harlot, as it was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, judgment's gone, righteousness is gone, but now murderous. Skipping over, if I can, to verse 26. I will restore, I'm going to fix this, I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called, when I fix this, the city is no good. But when I fix it, it's called the city. The faithful city that isn't faithful is going to be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix the whole problem. Chapter 26. of Isaiah. Israel, remember the city, isn't looking. City isn't anything today, as you'll see. Chapter 26, and in verse 1, if I may. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. When God makes it a righteous city, a faithful city. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks, for towers, protection. God's support, God's protection, and there's no cement, no bricks. God himself is the wall. And you know it all kinds of ways. In Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding. But you can't see it. How do you grab the peace of God? How do you put the peace of God up? You don't. You don't put it up. You look to God because he's there. And it is there. So everything's for. Just think now, if you would, and the good old government terms, the trillions of bacteria, dust, trillions of dust in the room. That's my guess. Okay, done. And if you had the right light, wouldn't you see it all floating? You know? And every time you breathe, that's why you have noses, and you go up your nose, goes in your nose, you know, filter it out, you know, hopefully. And it goes down and mixes with all the rest of the billions of bacteria that you house. You go, now, how do you detect which bacteria to avoid, which particles of dust to avoid? And how do you harness the bacteria, the bad guys? Here comes one. Here it comes. Can you do that? No. No, you simply trust and make an assumption that somehow you, in the middle of all of this, are going to come out all right. And you make an assumption about that. And you're trusting the system. You're trusting whatever it is that you don't even know, you're trusting it. You can't. There's nothing there. God, you're able to take all of this and keep us in it. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, in Isaiah 26, and again in verse 1, thou shalt appoint for the city, a strong city, very strong city, place for God to keep himself. Verse 2, open thee the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, supported, whose thought process, how you think, is stayed, supported, resting down on thee, because why is it going to be supported and be at peace? Because we're trusting in thee, God. Trust ye in the Lord, a command. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Verse 4, in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we're going to look to God. And in quietness and confidence would be your what? Your strength. And they would not. They wouldn't do it. That's all. But so we gotta, no, you gotta, you have to understand. You're gonna, is God here, isn't he? That's what you're gonna say, ask yourself. Now, hang on to that. If you would. Oh, over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. And I'm going to pick up, if I can, directly, you're going to lose a little context, but hope it helps. You'll get it. Israel was forgetting God, leaving God out of the picture. Where is God? We don't know. Thus, their statement. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. Neither said they what God said. Let me tell you your problem. You never said, I never heard you talking about it to each other, where is the Lord that brought us out of our land, out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of droughts and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwells. Where is the God that kept you for 40 years? Where is that God? And God's asking the question. He said, guys, where's your God? Where's your God gone? Ah. And again, skipping down to verse 8. The priest said not. If anyone should have been conscious of God, priest should. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Is anyone interested in where God is? Is anyone interested he's missing? You know, you remember some of them, you probably wouldn't know them, old revivalists, and they used to say one of the problems was the Spirit of God has been missing in the church for so long they don't even miss him. The Spirit of God. They don't even miss God. It'll come to me. It may come to me. I don't care if it comes to me because it isn't that critical. Now, picking up, please, in the light of chapter 2, over to verse 13, their problem. They have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So, A, you've forgotten God. Well, God's the source. And you're trying to save, your normal lifestyle is trying to collect water in bins, reservoirs that don't hold any water. So when you're all done collecting the day's profit and everything, when you're all done, and you look and the water's all gone. Ah, so we have to do it again and do it again and do it again. So we never get there. We never get there. Nope. Don't get there at all. So now, and if I can, over in verse 25. Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat, Jeremiah 2:25. And thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. So as long as you persist in going the wrong direction, there is no repentance. And you can say, I understand. You keep going the same way. You don't fix anything. Don't change. So what do you get? Nothing. Don't have any benefit. Verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying unto a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and have not their face, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. And if you kept reading, you're going to say, well, God says, all right, you trust all the things that you say, all the solutions you have, all the formulas you have, trust them. Don't tell me about them. Go do them. Go use your system. And when you're all done, tell me how it worked. How did your system work? When you're all finished and done, tell me. Now, Genesis 28. Genesis 28. You remember Jacob, and Jacob was a wonderful thing for Jacob, that he was trying to run away from God, away from his brother Esau, etc. And in Genesis 28, then you have him running away, and all by his lonesome to get away, and God, of course, interrupts his journey. And you remember in verse 12, and he dreamed a dream, and behold, the ladder set, this is 28 and 12, and he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And so Jacob is to be encouraged, stimulated. Verse 15, behold, I am with thee, said God, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I'm gonna follow through. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. I'm going to finish. Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. 20 years even. And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And behold, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. In that day, the city will be called, the Lord is there. Everyone will know. As we did in 6 o'clock on Sunday then. Everyone's going to know. In the millennium, no one has to, you don't have to go anywhere in the whole world that people won't know about God. They're all going to know. It's the city of God. It's the city of God. God is there. The Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there. Now, having said that, in this place, Jacob, did you know that God was out there in the middle of the field? No, I didn't until now. And then, by the way, he said, verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful. This place is full of fear, terror, awe, A-W-E, awe. It's an awful, awesome place. God is here. God is there. And I didn't know it. I didn't realize God was there. Wow. If I just paid attention, but I didn't pay attention. Over to Psalm 139. Now, Jacob did a little bit, and he did again later in his life. David, Israel did not well with God's presence. And thus they, instead of being blessed, they were cursed. Always blessed in the cursing. They curse, but they're blessed, you know. That's wonderful. Psalm 139. David, what about you? You're with it. Psalm 139. Picking up, please. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Now, verse 8. It's like, what do you say? There's no way to get away from God. So, God, we either realize you're there or we don't. We're either going to pay attention or we aren't. And it's up to us what we want to do with you, the invisible, infinite God. Now, David had a wonderful exercise. That's why David was so wonderful. Of all the people you would like to meet, I think, if you could, I have no idea. But if you could, and you might, you certainly might in the millennium. But in the process, David would be one of them. Moses would be a great fellow. And David would certainly be one. If anyone walked with God, David did. And God said he did. So that answers that one. Well, I'd like to be with just to sit. And actually, you're going to be ahead of David because you'll have a resurrected body. And he's an Israelite with a resurrected body. So between the two of you, you'll both be resurrected. So you'd be pretty sharp. But you still have the edge. Now, in Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. There's your little adverb, where? There, in that place. God, if I go up there, where are you? There. You're there. In the city, where are you? There. I'm in the city. Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell or Hades or Sheol, thou art there. Skipping down. Verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God, there's no way to escape your wonderful presence and person. God in no way, shape, or form. Now, having said that, and while you're here, verse 17. How precious, O God, are thy thoughts toward me, unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So, God, here we are in your presence, literally so. And of all the people that think about you and me, here we are. And of all the people that think about, first you can take your own thoughts and you can put them in a little basket. You know, put your thoughts in the basket. And then you can try to gather up the rest of the people that know you, because people that don't know you don't care about your existence. So people that know you, and then you can add their thoughts into here. And add their thoughts. Now you've got a basket of thoughts. These are all the thoughts. Good thoughts and bad thoughts, true? I mean, you've got a collection. There they are. Here they are. Now, you got a basket. Now, God, I'm hoping my basket works out with all my thoughts, and I'm trying to work them all out. And God said, I would like you to know that your thoughts, Isaiah 55, are not what? Are not my thoughts. And your ways aren't my ways. And I want you to know, by the way, and you have a big basket, you know, if you could have a whole lot of baskets. God said, listen, I want you to know that my thoughts to you are bigger than anything in your basket. In fact, you don't have a big enough basket to hold all my thoughts about you. Now, that's just something. Here you are. And there's God's thoughts. And God's thoughts, I'll read again in case I missed it, among other places. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, I can't add them up. They're more than the sand of the sea. So here I am trying to do it. Now, I'm going to compare this to God's. What he just said. I look at this. I look at God. I read what he said. And all of a sudden, this shrinks. And this isn't quite so important anymore. Not so much. No, it's God, how you think. How you think, God. And thus, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I awake. I am still with thee. Now, I didn't get very far. I thought, surely, how could you be very long and the Lord is there? But I have to tell you, we got a little way to go where we're going to go. So now I'm going to have to stop because I wanted to have a little illustration for you, among other things. Now, you will not see this, and I have some big pictures that are like this, but you couldn't see back there anyway. That's why people sit in the front. Just your favorite. Now, that's the city of Jerusalem that I have in my room, among others. That's the city of Jerusalem. There's a dome. There's a wall. Magnifying glass. It isn't exciting. Dubai, other places. This is nothing. Nothing. Is it? It's nothing. Nothing spectacular. I don't need the city as a city. It is nothing. No hotel that I know of. Now, that's the city. That's nothing. But God is going to be there in that city. And when God is there in that city, it's a whole nother world. Isn't it? And in the process, if we took time, Zechariah and all that, God is going to defend the city and Armageddon. They're all going to come in to get the city. And God's going to let them start beating them up. And then God's going to step in and stop the whole thing. Just like that. It's a nothing city. But God is there. God said, as long as you look to this place, if you had the temple, this is where I am. Understand? But there's nothing. But God's word and what God has done and going to do. Now, I want you to look at your own life. If I had a big mirror, I'd run it up and down. I want you to look at your own physical being and tell me, is God there? Is God there? That's what I know. I see Jerusalem. And God is there, but not yet. But he's there. But they don't know it. God should be. Christ in you, the one. Shouldn't that be there? Do you know it? Is God there? Show it. What's the difference? If God's here, God here, and that's a thing we're going to do in the conference. I'll try it. See what happens. Get assassinated after I'm done. Oh, forget that. Anyway, you got the idea? What do you see? You look in the mirror. What do you see? Is God there? No, just me. I'm getting older. See? What do you say? So now, instead of having, let's pray, all kinds of different ways, you know, to honor God. So now we're going to just stop, if we can, if you would, with that little thought in mind, having that in mind. Now I want you to go and just think, if I am saved and Christ is in me, God is here. And I am able to say what? Because God is here. What am I able to say if God's in me? Worry, want, I got all the different things in my life. Is God there? And if so, blessed shall thou be when you go out and when you come in. God is always there. God is always there. And like coming over, I was just reminded using it. I don't like using more than I should, but may be helpful in the light of this. I reminded myself when I had my little incident in California, and I got out of bed a little bit ahead of Jeanette, and God said, you're going to take a shower because you're going to the hospital. That's what God said. I knew it. God said, take a shower. You're going to the hospital. So went and took a shower, because you always be clean to go to the hospital, and took a shower, and did all of that, and did it. God was there all the way. Tommy said, this is what you do. I didn't know. God was there. God was there. Huh? I have to tell you, God was there. God is here. What advantage do we have if we truly, we don't want to be like Israel, right? Israel, and forget all about it. As if he wasn't here. I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I read my Bible, and I go to work and homeschool play, and I'll do all that. But I don't benefit from God's presence. I want to benefit from God's presence. I do. So God, help me. Help me to do it. Help me to see the difference. I have a wonderful privilege, God. I am not afraid because you're here. I am not worried because you're here. I am not fearful because you're here. No, I don't know what you could say. I just started saying something. What would you say? What would you say? Your turn. What would you say? Yep. Yeah.